Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you very much for joining me once again. Bit of an apology for last week. Sometimes I get a little bit overcommitted, and I could not actually get into the studio to record my program. So the previous week's was rolled over. So if you got two doses of Garabandal, it's not a bad thing. Okay, we're going to just do a little bit more about Garabandal. And then for the month of June, I'm going to be looking at the apparitions of Our Lady at Trefontaine, which is an apparition site in Rome, and Trefontaine, it's the Three Fountains, and it's a very, very special place going right back to the time of our Lord. When St. Paul was beheaded, apparently his head bounced three times off the block, and at each time it bounced, there was a fountain sprung up, so that's why it's called Trefontaine. And an incredible apparition occurred there on the 12th of April in 1947. So if you want to hear more about that, make sure you tune in for all of June. And then for the rest, well, not the rest of the year, but for the 3 months after that, I'm really going to be focusing on three. Because, of course, if you have been keeping your eye out since October of last year, when Poland, a million Polish people gathered around the borders of their country to pray the rosary. It has been like a spark of the Holy Spirit, and country after country has been following them. The one that followed was Ireland, and there are many countries that also have their own annual rosary procession, but this is something a little bit different, praying for the entire country, bringing everyone together. And we had the UK, they had their own rosary procession. That was Scotland, Wales and England on the 27th of April. And we have just had Australia on the 13th of May. And apparently the US are going to have their own national rosary crusade on the 7th of October this year, which of course is the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and that marked the great battle, the great naval battle of Lepanto. So we'll be looking into that a little bit more over the next coming months. But what I want to do today is really just to finish up a little bit on Garabandal. Now, just recap very briefly. For young children in the Cantabrian Mountains at the northern Spain, in the village of San Sebastian de Garabandal, had an apparition firstly from St. Michael. So the four girls, three were 12 and one was 11. So Maria Cruz, Jacinta, Conchita and Mariloli. Now, interestingly, three of them had the surname of Gonzales, but they weren't closely related. So St. Michael first appeared on June the 18th, 1961, and he appeared nearly every day after that, and he finally spoke to the girls on July the 1st, and he told them that Our Lady was coming to visit them the next day. Now, Pope Paul VI described the apparitions of Garabandal as like Our Lady coming to Earth for a second time. She appeared to the children over 2,000 times over a period of over 4 years, incredible apparition. Now, of course, the church is very cautious on these things, and very quickly, because of Our Lady appearing every other day, and sometimes several times a day, there was an investigation set up very, very quickly. The local priest who had been present at many of the apparitions was actually sent away, so he couldn't give evidence. And they said that there was nothing against faith in the church, but that nothing spiritual was happening there. So they didn't condemn it, but they did say that visiting priests had to get permission to say Mass if they wanted to in the local church. Now, there was a young priest at the time who was present at three of the apparitions who later went on to become the Bishop of San Sebastian of the whole Santander, and he felt that the investigation was not thorough, and he felt it was only right that he do another investigation in the mid to late 80s, and that was all sent to Cardinal Ratzinger, of course Pope Benedict the 16th, and it came back basically all the indults or anything that was that people had to do or for permission, etc. It was all lifted, completely lifted. And so this bishop, he couldn't make a pronouncement as such, but he did believe it strongly. He believed that it was a message for the church, though he did think it was a bit harsh that cardinals, bishops and priests might be on the way to perdition, which of course was the second message. So I'm just going to say a little bit more about Garibaldo here. So in the first message, there were two messages, and Our Lady said on the 18th of October 1961, so this was a couple of months after she began appearing, she told the children that people had to make many sacrifices and perform many penances, but she said that the cup was filling up and that people had to lead good lives. And if they didn't, there was going to be a great chastisement. Now, 4 years later, on June the 18th, there was a second message. And it wasn't delivered by Our Lady this time to Conchita. It was delivered by St. Michael the Archangel because Our Lady was so sad she couldn't deliver it. And it went something like this. My message was not complied with, and it was not made known to the world. And so this is the last one. The cup is overflowing. And many cardinals, many bishops and many priests are on the road to perdition. Less and less importance has been given to the Holy Eucharist. And to turn the wrath of God away, and people have to ask for forgiveness with sincere hearts. And if they do, God will pardon them. And I am your mother, and through the intercession of St. Michael, I ask you to amend your lives. You are now receiving last warnings, and I love you very much, and I do not want your condemnation. Pray too sincerely, and we will grant your requests. Make more sacrifices, and think about the passion of Jesus. So that's a common thing when saints over the years have said, you know, how do we prepare ourselves? You think about the passion. So what is going to happen at Garibaldo? Well, firstly, one of the things or the reasons why the church has not been able to come out definitively on Garibaldo is because a lot of it is in the future. Now, Pope Paul received Conchita. Cardinal Ottaviani, who was Pope Paul's confessor, received Conchita. In fact, Mother Teresa absolutely believed in Garibaldo. St. Padre Pio did as well, and of course he was a saint gifted with many, many talents, the ability to read souls, read consciences, to bilocate, all sorts of things, and he absolutely believed that a lady was appearing. And in fact, Sister Lucy from Fatima asked the Bishop of Lara Fatima to go and visit Conchita in New York twice because she believed that Garibaldo was the continuation of Fatima, and so did Bishop Venancio. He definitely believed in the apparitions of Our Lady at Garibaldo. So let's look at what some of the things in the future are. Firstly, there is going to be a warning. And so it's a warning for the world to amend itself. And Our Lady told Conchita on the 1st of January 1965. So it will be something that will be visible for the entire world. And it will be a direct word work of God. It'll be like a punishment for the good and bad. Now, for the good, it will be to draw them closer to God, and for the bad, to let them know that the time is near for them to amend their lives. So the fruits of God's justice and mercy, it'll be an opportunity for conversion. So externally, for us, there will be something in the sky, like luminous flames of ardent fire, and it'll be felt around the entire earth. Now, interiorly, we will see our conscience as if we are standing before God and his justice, and we will see everything that we've done wrong, and we will see everything that we have not done. So it'll be like a partial judgment. Now, it's not going to hurt us as such. Conchita said, though, some people may die of fright at the state of their souls. So it'll be a bit like conscious of the world will be corrected, and it's going to be a purification before the miracle. So the second thing of Garabandal is the miracle. Now, Our Lady only told this to Conchita because by 1965, the other three girls had stopped having the apparitions, and it was only Conchita. So she is considered the main seer of Garabandal. So it will be, she knows the day, and it's going to be announced 8 days before, and it will coincide with an event in the church and a feast day of a saint and a martyr of the Eucharist. Now, it will be at 8:30 p.m. on a Thursday. Now, interestingly, a lot of the apparitions of Our Lady occurred around this time and later into the night, sometimes in the early hours of the morning. So if you are in the mountains of Garabandal, it will be visible, everyone who is there, and it will be the greatest miracle Jesus has done for the world. Now, if you are sick and you are present, you will be healed. And any unbelievers who are there, they will believe. Now, Conchita told Pope Paul what this miracle consists of, and she also told his confessor, Cardinal Ottaviani, and they know, or she told them the date. Both have since died, but they may have written it down somewhere. So there will be about a year between the warning and the great miracle. It'll last about 10 to 15 minutes, which is similar to the time that the great miracle of the sun lasted on October the 17th, 1917 in Fatima. Now, as I said, it will be on a Thursday around 8:30 p.m. And between the days of the 6th to the 16th in the months of either March, April or May. But it won't be a Marian feast day. And as I said before, it will coincide with an important and rare singular event of the church. It could be a synod or something like that, as well as for Christianity. It'll be happy and a fortunate event. Now, wherever the Pope is, he doesn't have to be at Garabandal, but he will actually see the miracle too. So, on the first day of June 1963, the village bells rang, and that always denoted that someone had died. And so Conchita was in her kitchen with her mother, and she said, "Somebody has died. It must be the Pope. There are only three popes left." So Conchita's mother asked her, "Is this the end of the world?" And Conchita replied, "No, the end of times. Our Lady had told her that there would be three popes left, and later, the end of times." Now, the end of times coincides with the purification of humanity and the renewal of the church, and this will prepare everyone for the glorious reign of Christ. Now, of course, purification often happens, as in the Old Testament, in blood. Now, if people still do not listen and better themselves and do what God wanted them to do, there is going to be a punishment. And it was announced by the girls just after the first message of October the 18th, 1961. Now, they described what they saw, and they called the Night of the Screams, so the nights of June the 19th and June the 20th, 1962, and it was absolutely horrific. The girls were up on the mountain where many of the apparitions occurred, And they just were screaming and howling and wailing and calling out all sorts of things. But the villagers had been instructed to stay down below, and they were praying the rosary. And so as they prayed, the screams got less, but every time they stopped praying, they increased. So they just constantly prayed. And Conchita said it was similar to rivers transformed in blood. Fire came down from heaven, and there's worse things, like a great heat, a scorching thirst, and water evaporated. Conchita describes the punishment would be dependent on humanity. If we listen to the message of Our Lady and the miracle, it could be mitigated. I have seen it. It is worse than fire on top and fire on underneath. And of course, it coincides with sacred scripture, because punishment is nothing other than a healing medicine that is to seek to restore and straighten out the path of humanity. We've just gone past 3 o'clock. It is Divine Mercy time. So this is a very, very powerful prayer. And you can, you don't have to be Catholic to say it, but it's very, very powerful, particularly if somebody is dying. If you say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with them, it's excellent. Okay, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. In whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Now, you can appreciate that what Conchita and the other girls saw is pretty horrific. And interestingly enough, way back in 1976, when St. Pope John Paul II was a cardinal, he was in Philadelphia at a Eucharistic conference, and he gave a speech, and he said that he didn't think people were aware, but we were in the times of the church and the anti-church and the Christ and the Antichrist, and before long we would have to, or we would be subjected to great trials, and trials are such that we may even have to give up our life, and that there would be a purification in blood, because this is as it has always been and will be so again. We can't prevent it any longer, although we can mitigate it. And he said we have to be very, very assiduous in praying the rosary. And Pope John Paul II said that the rosary was his favourite prayer. And you will all remember photographs, and even when Parkinson had taken hold of him, he had the rosary wrapped around his hand, up to his head. You know, this is the answer, this is the weapon. And he certainly was a great advocate of the rosary. In fact, many, many popes have been. Pope Leo XIII, who was pope in the late 1800s, early 1900s, wrote 11 or possibly 12 encyclicals on the rosary. So he was known as the Pope of the Rosary. Now, Pope Pius IX said that, "Give me an army praying the rosary and I can conquer the world," because that's how powerful the rosary is. And of course, Our Lady told the children, the seers of Fatima, that there is no problem within families, in the world, among nations, that can't be solved by praying the rosary. And that because of these challenging times that we live in, that she has given it special efficacy, special power. So we must never underestimate the power of the rosary. And of course, you can look up the Battle of Lepanto. There was a rosary crusade organized from Pope Pius all around Rome. And some of the Venetian senators, because the Holy League fought against or in the battle, and he said, "We didn't win, Our Lady and her rosary won." And they acknowledged that the power in the battle, because they were greatly outnumbered, came from the rosary. And of course, you had after World War II, when Austria was occupied by four nations, one of them being Russia, one of the priests, Father Petrus, remembered Lepanto, and he organized a rosary crusade, and he wanted to get a tithe, so 10% of the country. Now, it took him about 8 years, I think it was, by the time he finally organized it. And of 7 million people, he managed to get 700,000 tithing to pray the rosary every day. He even got the Prime Minister, who came out, and many people in the government, and they had an annual rosary crusade every year. And miraculously, in 1955, on the 13th of May, the Russian army just up sticks and left without one shot being fired. Now, that's never happened in the whole history of communism. Once move in, they do not move out. But of course, the communists are no match for Our Lady. So, as I said, over the next 4 months, we're really going to be looking at the power of the rosary. And wouldn't it be fantastic if New Zealand had its own rosary crusades? So let's end the program with that wonderful song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother."
The road is long, with a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where. Yeah.